This week's episode is brought to you by the generous support of our Patreons. Thanks so much. Without your generous donations, we wouldn't be here today. And thank you too to Nick and Meg, you know who you are, who left work early to watch our Twitch stream on Friday. You're both awesome and we love you. Before we start the show, I'd like to explain a little bit about this episode. It's based on a scenario called Dockside Dogs, which was written by Paul Fricker, who was on the show a few weeks ago, as you probably know. It's a modern-day scenario in which all the players are gangsters taking part in a heist. Before the show, I primed each of the players with some secret information. This could be sort of as small as maybe they don't like one of the other characters, or maybe they had a secret goal which they had to try and complete before the end of the scenario. And one of them is also an undercover cop with his own secret mission. If you think you know who it is, there's a poll, or there will be a poll, on Twitter at HWR Podcast where you can vote. This is one of the most player-centric scenarios I've ever been keeper from. And although it was a challenge, it was great fun to play. So I hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of How We Roll Podcast.
Hi.
We're an RPG-based podcast, and we focus on Call of Cthulhu, some Dungeons & Dragons, and occasionally one-off campaigns.
Interesting.
If you're interested in contacting us and want to know where you can find our podcasts, you can visit howwerollpodcast.com.
Fancy.
Which offers links to Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, SoundCloud, Reddit, and Twitch.
What?
If you enjoy what we do, want to support us, you can donate to us on Patreon.
And
with that said, let's get on with the show.
Yes, please just get on with the show. Yes.
Welcome back to How We Roll Podcast. I'm Joe Trier and I'll be your keeper tonight. I am joined tonight by Owen, Mr. Black Felvey.
Hi guys, I'm Owen Felvey. I'm playing Mr. Black, son of the boss who goes around wearing shell suits. I was going to wear one in real life, but it is way too hot to do that. So I have a hideous 90s classic Adidas shell suit on. Essentially my character.
We'll do character introductions in a minute. Just stick to just
fair enough.
You introductions.
I thought you said do both. Do yourself and then do the character.
Anyway, that's probably going to stay in there. next we have Dave, Mr. Beige Honecker.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Dave. If you listen to our podcast, you know me. Be crazy voices, Russians and everything else. Today I'm actually playing a straight character for once. So I'm going to have fun with that.
Define straight. Redefine straight. A non comedy.
Sense of acting, non comedic, non comedic.
I was going to say, you're wearing a beige scarf. You're not that straight.
I don't own beige fucking clothes. I own black clothes.
And I don't own black clothes. I'm playing Mr. Black. I have a load of beige. And a load of beige.
Why did that not surprise me?
Oh, and I'm assuming the beige life chose you.
Oh, yeah.
And that is back from his long absence. We have Curran, Mr. Purple Javeri.
Javeri.
Trying to throw in. I think just my middle name's Simon, so you can just call me Simon. It's easier for everyone. White people names. Anyway, we're going
to. He's the only person who can play the race card, damn it.
Yeah. What do you mean, you people? No. Okay, so I'm playing Mr. Purple, and I have not been on the podcast for like a month and a half, probably a bit longer, work-related reasons. Been bogged down in work and all the rest of that, but I'm glad to be back again for a good show.
We do not want to lose you, Curran. Find the time to have a life.
It's getting hard to juice ourselves. Like, it's getting to the point where it's like, I have many leather-bound books. Like, all the facts have been used up at this point of us.
Yeah. You're assuming we have returning facts.
That's true.
Okay, tonight we are also incredibly lucky to have two very special guests. First, we have Kyle, Mr. Green Ferguson.
I'm Kyle. I do video game podcasts, but I love Dungeons & Dragons. And this is close enough. I did DM one Call of Cthulhu game in the past, so I might know what's going on, sort of.
We lived through that one, Kyle, because we broke down the door of your museum and all ran away. So.
And let the monster free.
Yeah.
That's kind of a win, I guess. And that voice that you're hearing is Brockett, Mr. Silver Volo.
Hey, yeah, I do a podcast with Kyle, Biggest Fan Podcast, and yeah, I played a lot of D&D in the past, just the one Call of Cthulhu, So it's fun, though. I have a slightly improv background, not an impressions background, so I'm very excited to see what comes out of my mouth for this podcast.
Well, so far we've had racism and homophobia, so I wouldn't worry too much. And we're 2 minutes in.
We get those out early.
So we're going to start the scenario in a large room. You guys, all hardened gangsters, are waiting. Some of you sit on folding chairs, some of you stand. Although you may not know each other, you all know Joe. Joe sits in front of you, on the edge of a table, an angry, balding gangster with a mean reputation who looks kind of like the Thing from Fantastic Four if he wasn't covered in rocks. Next to him stands his son, nice guy Eddie, who looks a bit like Chris Penn. rest in peace. Off to your right is a blackboard with a layout of a city block. And luckily, because I can't do accents either, Dave is going to take over from here.
All right, let's get to know one another. With the exception of Eddie and myself, who you already know, we will be using aliases under no fucking circumstances. Are you to tell one another your real names or anything else about yourselves, which includes where you're from, your wife's name, your girlfriend's name, your pussy on the side's name, where you've done time, about a bank in St. Petersburg where you've robbed. You guys don't say shit about who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. The only thing you guys talk about is what you're gonna do. This way, the only one who knows who the members of the team are Eddie and myself. I have a friend over the river. Let's call him Mr. Yeller. He needs a certain object dropped off at the warehouse at midnight tonight, and you're gonna get it to him. Right, I'm gonna hand out your aliases. You're Mr. Black.
Okay, so I'm a young guy, just early 20s, dark curly hair, wearing one of those classic, Run DMC style shell suits. Just cheeky looking young gangster. Thinks he's can take over the world, more or less on his first job, by the looks of it.
And I think the key is that you're best friends with Nice Guy Eddie, so you're leading this job today.
Okay, our brown friend over here is Mr. Purple.
I'm 31 years old, Italian descent. I like looking my clothes. You know, I like to look good. I like to feel good. Bit of a narcissist. That's about it.
Hey, our bearded friend here is Mr. Beige.
That's me. I'm Mr. Beige. I'm a hard-ass 41-year-old, kind of slow-talking, big scar on my face, nice big, you know, chunky chain, tobacco-stained fingers, because the fact that I've constantly got a lit or unlit cigar in my hand. When it's not lit, I'm just chewing on it, and it stinks to high heaven like a stale cigar, but I don't give a shit. And then we got Mr. Silver over here with the hair.
I'm Mr. Silver. I'm the youngest here. I have a very impressive goatee, and I have a nice new suit. You can tell it's new because, unfortunately, as he gestures with his hand, there is a price tag still hooked to the end of his sleeve, and he has not yet known it. And he still has his the plastic right here behind his bow tie, which he also has not removed. But his mother's always told him to look good, look starched. So he wore it right off the rack. Very nice new suit. Very excited to be here. Looks like a whole room full of upstanding citizens.
And of course the male model in the room, Mr. Green.
I'm Mr. Green. I've done this a lot. I'm a little bored in the corner of the room. All these young kids getting excited. You can see on my knuckles it says Big Bad. Across my chest, now obscured by a extending beer belly, is Wolf. My clothes are from the mid-80s. I didn't really update my fashion with the times. I don't talk about myself much. You get the feeling that I'm a bit of a family man behind this. And times have moved on.
Okay, this is a classic smash and grab on an armored van. We got the route, we know there are two guards, and there's a nice choke point where to hit it. You're all professionals. I expect this to be done in a clean and efficient manner. Any questions?
Yeah, what about me? There's a small guy at the back. I'm Mr. Red. Don't forget about me at all. He's a small guy, but over his back is an immense rifle, and it has a huge scope on it. I'll be helping out as well.
Did you name yourself? You didn't introduce him. Did you name
him? I got here earlier.
Mr. Red needs no introduction. He wasn't in the notes Joe gave me.
So
I don't need to be in the fucking notes.
So what's in the box?
You don't need to know what's in the package. All you need to know is where it needs to get to and at what time. Where were those times? I already told you.
Yeah. Quick question for the new guy back there with his name. It's an amazing name. Mr. Red, you picked that? Great.
No, I was given this name. I didn't arrive late like some of you fucking guys.
But you're in the back of the group. Nobody comes late. It's in the back. I digress. The job, just for some people who may or may not have lost their notes, and all of a sudden you see that he has probably a cocktail napkin, a bubblegum wrapper, some kind of parking ticket or stamp of proof of paying some kind of toll, are shuffled through his fingers. If someone may have lost a note or so, what again was the exact timing of the job and just the general? Just give us another particulars, if you would, please.
You're just getting this stony face look of, who the fuck is this?
Okay, let me put this in terms that one of you young people might understand. Yes. There is a car. That car has very valuable things in it. So it has lots and lots of this thing we call armor. Inside that car, there are two guards. The thing you assholes need to get is in that car, guarded by those guards. We know the route, which has been obtained, in case you're wondering, illegally, of that armored car. You assholes will attack the car, get the package, and deliver it to the fucking warehouse at midnight!
Alright, quick question.
Mr. Purple first. I'll take a second.
Alright. Quick question, right? What happens if whoever it is we is offloading this goods to isn't there at midnight? Then what? What's your contingency?
Yeah, my question as well. Yeah.
Why are you worrying your little heads about things you don't need to know? That's my end of the deal. I will take care of it. You question these things, you're questioning me.
I wouldn't want my question to be confused with me questioning you, Joe. But quick question. What if we were to get it there just before midnight? Is there like an extra bonus? Like, let's say 11:55, right? 7 minutes early. Is there like a $7, like a bonus? I'm just saying for prop's sake.
Mr. Red, smack this idiot up the side of the head.
Okay. He starts like, and he's really small, like he's like 5'6". He starts like rolling up his sleeves.
Really, really small, and he's an inch taller than I am, you cunt.
So at this point, Mr. Black gets up confidently, kind of strolls up beside nice guy Eddie, throws his arm around him and goes, Eddie, you told me I was going to get a crack team. It was going to be an easy job. I've got Starsky and Hutch here, pointing to Mr. Green. Rocky Balboa, Mr. Purple. Pee Wee Herman there, Mr. Silver.
Who the fuck are you calling? Oh.
And then,
No.
Yeah. And then, and this guy, actually, he seems pretty okay, Mr. Wright. He's terrified of Mr. Wright. What am I supposed to do with these guys?
I can't do a Chris Penn accent. So at this moment, the screen is going to fade to black.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? You do what you're supposed to do. You do the job. Come on, it's okay. Easy, man.
Dave's going to do all of the NPCs for us. Okay.
The job went bad. Really bad. It was as if the cops knew you were coming. Mr. Purple, Mr. Silver, and Mr. Grey, you managed to get away in the armored truck. Somehow, you avoided pursuit and have made it to the seafront. As you turn on to a deserted road, seagulls cry and stalk along the dockside as a rush of warm, briny air ruffles through their feathers before it flows into the cab, salty and sickening. You pass a telephone booth. Then, ahead, you see the warehouse, maybe 300 feet away, silhouetted against the sinking sun, a rotting tooth of a building, sitting abandoned amongst a row of similar structures. The sea laps against the barnacled concrete and crumbling wooden piers. You think you see two fishermen casting on one of the piers. The sky, a deep blue, turning into russet as the sun prepares to set, meets the endless sea, although in the distance across the bay, you think you might be able to see a stretch of grey land, where, in a few hours' time, if all goes well, Mr. Yellow will be sending his emissary to pick up the goods you have stolen. You drive the armoured van up to the warehouse. You see its rusting metal frame is broken at its front by a large roller door, and next to it, concrete steps lead up to a smaller door, which is half open, revealing blackness. There are also two cars parked in front. To the left of the building is an area of scrubland leading down to the sea, and an old wooden jetty. You see a few windows on this side, caked with dust, and also an old generator. You pull up the armoured van in front of the warehouse. So it's Mr. Purple, which is Curran, Mr. Silver, which is Brockett, and Mr. Grey. Mr. Grey is a tall, thin gentleman, his skin almost corpse-like, white and sort of puffy.
Ian's mouthing, sorry. So we're going
and
to...
he's not said a word in the entire journey.
Yeah. Not said a word.
Was he in the briefing?
Or in the intro. Yeah, he was really quiet.
I'm going to look at Mr. Silver and be like, come talk for me for a second over here. So I'm just going to get out the van and I'm going to walk over to like... an area just away from the van so that Mr. Grey can't hear.
Mr. Grey pulls out a book and starts writing in it.
Okay.
That's good. Keep notes. That's what my ma says. I'm just going to take the keys. I'm good with keys. All right, Grey. You're good. I'll go over there and sort of walk up and cross my arms next to Purple.
So I'm starting to think we were sold out. And I don't think it was you because you're too much of a pussy, and I know it's not me.
It's nice, yes.
So I think you're pretty much the only person I can trust here.
Well, what about Mr. Grey over there? He's a good book reader.
He's fucking weird. I don't trust him. He didn't say the fucking word. He don't talk. If you don't talk, how are you supposed to get to know the guy?
I don't know nothing anymore. I don't know. Yeah, he was really quiet. You know, I bet you it was that red guy. That red guy was all lippy, and I don't trust anybody who's shorter than me, who tries to look directly in my eyes but only hits my chin. I got a good goatee, but that's not good. That's not good enough reason. Look me in the eye. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In the distance, you hear police sirens wailing.
Oh, shit. Where do we put the fucking? Where do we put the car? Gray. Oh, I've got the keys. I'll throw the keys at Gray in the van. Pull the car around.
Almost like an automation, Grey puts the keys into the ignition, starts up the armored van, and drives right up to the roller doors, and then stops, kind of waiting for you guys to go into the warehouse and open them up.
All right. I'll get one of the doors here and just try and pull it aside here so we get some clearance.
Okay, there's a little door, so you go up the steps, you push open the door, and it's like... something stuck on something, like a load of rubble's piled up behind it. It's only open a few inches, and you kind of throw your weight against it, and it doesn't immediately open. The feeling from inside is like really, really, really cold.
Well,
this horrible meat locker or something.
What does it smell like?
I don't know. You put your nose in there first.
I'm gonna do it. So yeah, I'm gonna go inside.
Okay, the door's only open a few inches. You might be able to squeeze through, if you want to give me a dex roll. Or you can try and like push it open even further.
Try to push it open even further. Strength roll?
Yeah, give me a strength roll. Are you doing it on your own or are you gonna help?
I'll help the door pull.
Okay, give me a strength roll with advantage. The first roll is a 15, so hard success, and the door scrapes against the concrete, revealing the inside of the warehouse. It's almost completely pitch black, although off to your right you think you can see a pile of crates, maybe an oil drum that's been turned over. Along your left, the wall goes down into darkness a few hundred feet. All the windows are kind of blacked out and grimy. You notice just by the door and by the light of the setting sun, there's two controls. One seems to be maybe a light switch, the other one seems to be like a ratchet for the doors.
I'm going to go over and try to turn on those lights. Maybe we can see what the fuck's going on in here.
Okay, give me a spot hidden as you step into the cold of the warehouse.
Let's take a look around. What do I see? A little bit of bada boom. Where that spot hidden? Where is it? Agent. Where'd you go, Spot Hidden? I know I've got you. There we go, I got you.
Ooh, an ace. Ooh.
An A. Extreme success. Okay.
I can see everything.
There is a cat prowling the warehouse. It's got a blue collar. But this isn't this whole area has been deserted. It has a bad vibe about it. But this cat looks like an incredibly well cared for, expensive house cat. Probably not like a moggy, like it's a breed. Like it's quite fat, has a flat face on it.
Is that a good thing about a cat? A flat face? Is that something you look for in a cat?
It's got a flat face. I'm like, man, that is one ugly cat. Dude.
If it dies.
Yo, Mr. Silver, you seeing this?
Yeah.
Ugly as shit.
Look at that cat. So, did you hit that cat with your foot when you walked in the door?
Look at his
face.
It might have been when we pushed it open or pulled it. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. It's true. I don't like the harm animals. I don't know what this cat's doing here. I don't like it. Is the collar, like, you're saying it's a good looking cat, so it looks currently like it's been well kept.
It looks like the kind of thing you'd see on like the lap of a supervillain, not in some like fucked up warehouse on this like distant.
So
dark.
I'm gonna like crouch down and be like, "Come here, pussy." We all like some pussy once in a while. Come on, come here. I just wanted to read the color, if possible.
Okay, it steps towards you, sort of hesitantly at first, and then sort of like brushes against your leg. What's it called?
It's a working class cat member, blue collar, so it's going to be something like him. Chuck or something.
Dan.
I like the idea it's called like Tarantino or something like that.
Oh, no, Quentin. Wait. No.
Quentin, yeah.
Tintin Quarantino.
Quentin Perantino.
Oh. Perantino, how about that? Mr. Perantino.
It's obviously like sort of looking for your food, and when it sort of moves away, you see that it's covered your entire leg in like long white cat hair.
Okay, I'm gonna pick it up, take off its collar, and chuck it into the crates.
Oh, what are you doing to the cat? No,
sorry.
Cat?
Sorry, it put you... hair on me, man. You got something for this? Brushing stuff up.
You also noticed that it had been licking your foot for a while.
Ugh. Moon in my shoes, the whole fucking shit.
That cat, I'm telling you, if we're in a tight situation where we need silence and that cat rats on us, I'm just saying. It's on you. I'll try and wave Gray into the building now, see if that...
Okay, there's a car coming down the road in the distance. You can't see from the distance, but it looks like a cop car.
Oh, Christ. Get in the fucking... Get in. Going, Gray!
What the fuck is he doing? What a douchebag.
Give me that collar. Give me the cat collar. Give it to me.
I gave it to you. Yeah.
All right. I'll stand sort of on the outside of the doors, trying to get Gray inside with the truck faster. But I'll technically be visible just to make sure how quickly we can get this truck inside.
The car is a cop car, and it's driven by Mr. Beige, who gets out. That's why his character's there. He gets out. Mr. Beige, you've managed to drive a cop car away.
Yeah. The radio was just blaring with sounds of the 70s as I walk up, and I just sort of get out of the car, close the door, look over, light a cigarette. Look over it. Are the garage doors still open?
Garage is still open. They're like frantically, one of the characters is like turning the hatchet, trying to lower it down. And you sort of hear the music, and in the distance, you kind of get this image of another cop being horribly tortured in a different warehouse somewhere not too far away.
Start bobbing with my cigarette. So that didn't go too well.
Jesus.
And just casually walk into the warehouse.
Is anyone injured? Like, anyone got blood on their face or anything?
Probably that cat. Which cat, I'll tell you what.
My bad. I didn't mean nothing by it. He just put the fur on my leg. I overreacted. You know, whatever.
Okay. Mr. Gray is, like, disappeared into the darkness behind the crates.
Where the fuck is Mr. Gray?
I don't fucking know. I don't trust that guy. I really don't.
Hey, Beige, come over here for a second. Let's powwow, TP, whatever they call it. Let's do it. Let's get in a huddle.
A group. Let's make this happen.
You're going to DP him?
Make sure you stand between the two of us, bro. Just, you know, awkwardly, whatever.
On three, we musketeers.
I just give him a look like, I'm fine here.
From where you're standing, you can see there's a table to one side, and it's like a pack of cards, there's a radio on it, there's a whole load of like sort of soft drinks, there's a crate of beer, a couple of bottles of sort of Jack Daniels. Like, obviously this place has been laid up for you to hang out for the next few hours.
Oh, so it's unopened, it's just like set up.
Yeah.
Sorry, okay. I wasn't really paying attention for a second there. What happened?
Look at all this nice stuff somebody left for us. We got some cards, we got some drinks, we got some stuff. You know, Mr. Gray, I'm sure, is very thirsty since he used his mouth so much for talking today.
Yeah.
but I don't know where he is, Mr. Beige.
You're being sarcastic? He didn't say nothing to me.
if you want to look for Mr. Gray, give me a spot roll.
You guys do that. I don't trust him, so I'm going to take a look. Real quick, look over in his direction. I'm gonna be like, where you at?
I got a hard success on my spot hit.
I got a success, that's all.
Mr. Gray is on the other side of the warehouse. You notice there's actually sort of three doors, sort of three rooms that sort of jut out of against the wall, and Mr. Gray opens the first one and disappears inside.
What the hell is this guy
doing? I'm starting to think maybe we should interrogate him if he's even capable of speech. I'm not sure. But I think we'll follow him, at least see where he's gone.
All he comes out and then like walks along towards the next door and begins to open it up.
Yo, Mr. Gray. Yo, Mr. Gray, what do you got? What are you
like
finding in there?
Giving you a withering look and then disappears inside that room.
Man, fuck this guy.
With as much as you guys are talking, I didn't know this was like a fucking sewing circle. I would have brought my shit.
Right now the cop car is outside. I kind of like to imagine the radio's on and you still have like the siren on as well and the lights flashing.
Not the siren. Nothing that it is just the radio still blaring. Probably, you know, the windows are still down.
Is there a ramp going into the water anywhere nearby?
The far side of the warehouse, there's a pair of large double doors.
Hmm. Well, either we gotta put this thing inside the warehouse, or unless somebody got ungodly strength, dump this thing in the river. Because otherwise, you left a fucking cop car outside the entire warehouse. What are we going to do about that?
Just calm down, little doggy. Calm down. Everything's going to be okay. Uncle Beige is going to make it all better.
You're making it sound sexual when you stop. Oh, man.
And I sucker punch him in the stomach.
Oh.
Me or Purple?
You.
Okay, can you give me a brawl roll, please?
Surely I should get a bonus for sucker punching him.
You can roll with advantage.
Success.
So 42 success. So the way Call of Cthulhu works, you can do a couple of things if you've been attacked. So you can attack back, or you can dodge. They're the two obvious ones you can do. Okay,
I'll just try and dodge, I guess. That is just the general dodge roll.
Yeah.
I failed. I did a great job. I think I try and like shake it off, but then by doing so, I've somehow thrusted my stomach outwards just so I get an extra oomph to the guy.
It's like Mr. Silver is a really big guy. So Dave, what happens? Roll for damage as well.
Mr. Silver's a big guy in terms of tall or fat?
It does damage automatically.
He's the biggest, strongest guy.
Can I reduce the damage? Because I didn't, you know, this isn't like a full-blown... I just want to give him a little love tap.
He didn't want to do 6 damage to somebody with 10 health, you know what I mean?
Yeah, done 6 damage to him. You basically just smashed him across the face. There's no rule for it, but I can say if you're kind of going to pull your punch, you can do half damage.
Yeah. Okay, that's still quite a lot of
you
damage.
You ruptured his spleen. It's like,
so I just slam him in the stomach and sort of grab him by the scruff of the neck and pull him out. And he's like, I would be a little bit more respectful when you talk to me.
Okay, screen goes black, and we're going to go to our first flashback. This is for Kyle and Owen. So Kyle Owen and Mr. Red as well. Basically, you guys have really struggled to get away from this heist. One of you has been shot, either Kyle or Owen. So I'd like you to roll a D100. The person who rolls the highest has been shot.
This is never good for me. I'm the worst roller in history. I might not be.
The 98.
I rolled a 49.
Okay, Kyle, you've been shot. It's only 3 damage, so it's like a glancing blow. And guys, it's up to you. How did you escape? So there's during this heist, what happened? How did you get shot? How did you escape?
So who's driving the
cop can
car?
You?
That was Silver.
That was Beige.
Me.
Before we get to that problem point, so what happened exactly when we like? Is it a shitload of cops? Is it one cop? Is it... What kind of scenario was it looking like, Joe?
Completely up to you.
Oh, okay.
So all that's been narrated so far is that, it was like they knew you were there. As soon as you pulled this, pulled in front of the armoured van, started pulling guns on the guards, cops from all over descended on you guys. Somehow the armoured van managed to get away. Somehow Dave as Mr. Beige has come away in a cop car. How did you guys get away? And how did Kyle... get shot, Mr. Green.
So as we're pulling up, I was driving.
And I was bitching about I should drive.
Yeah, in our little squadron, I tried to do a handbrake turn to just pull him up right beside the cop car as you're getting out of the car. That worked lovely and fine. And just as you're about to step out of the car, I stall it so it jerks, you trip up and get shot.
I imagine it's like a white like a tan panel van kind of thing. Is that the kind of car you guys see?
Okay, so where have you been shot, Kyle? And and who shot you?
In the toe yourself.
right in the love handle. My right love handle. Oh. Which is rather...
My favorite love handle.
Size.
Oh, God.
Of sorts. Oh. By that cop that I wasn't quick enough to shoot first.
Nice. Okay.
Did you kill him after, though?
No, I dove back into the mobile. and have basically been bitching in the backseat.
Vengeance will be yours.
And then at that point, we bound down the street, more or less, say, a narrow alley, ricocheting off the walls, parked cars, as like two and three cop cars turn down the alley and chase us, I would say.
Okay, and how did you get away from those two or three cop cars that are right behind you in this minivan?
I would say, go on.
Lumbered myself out the window and unenthusiastically kind of over the shoulder just started unloading rounds in the street.
And Mr. Red, I imagine, being crack shot, also had a fair part to play with. If anything, I was hindering them, swerving wildly, just with him struggling to keep himself in the car, giving them no favours.
So, Mr. Red gets separated from you. Maybe you take out the first car, and so all the cops are sort of stuck behind that car in the alley, and you drive up to the docks. It takes you a few minutes, maybe sort of 15, 20 minutes. You drive down this long, deserted road. The stink of the sea is rife in the distance. Far beyond the warehouse, you can see this kind of like grey, lonely island where eventually Mr. Yellow will send his sort of emissary. As you pass by the sort of other sort of deserted buildings, you see two other cars and probably belonging to the two fishermen that are out very far away on a pier. And you pull up outside. The warehouse door is still open. Inside, you see the armoured truck. Behind the armoured truck, you see a cop car, and you also see Mr. Beige, Mr. Purple, and Mr. Silver bickering. At the back of the warehouse, sort of playing with a large set of double doors, you see Mr. Grey, who's trying to get them open.
He's trying to open the back doors?
Yeah, to try and get out the back.
Okay. I'm going to go over there and stop him.
So you get like halfway across the warehouse and you hear this screech outside, like a minivan pulls in and Mr. Green and Mr. Black appear.
I come bounding through the door fairly panicked but composed, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not losing my shit, but I'm definitely, shit's gone down and I'm not very happy. Take off sunglasses, throw them across the room and go, why the fuck does Joe insist that we wear sunglasses at night? I had to take them off in real life as well because it's really actually hard to see shit. I assume at this point me and Mr. Green are discussing passionately what went down. Like, they definitely knew we were here. Someone here has sold us out.
Mr. Green, you're bleeding.
I'm walking one step like, no, I just bled all over the back of the car. What is this doing here? Whose mobile? God damn. And I reach into my pocket, I pull out this little pair of specs, and I lean down and, crap. Whose car is this? Is there a dead cop in there?
Give me a listen
roll. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
We can get to the bottom of who ratted us out.
I don't hear a thing.
Yeah, you don't hear shit.
41 versus 20. He gets out an ear horn and...
damn, kids.
Yeah, so in the cop car, the radio is playing, and someone's got on Kay Billy's Super Sound of the 70s.
I love this song, but turn the crap off. All right, can I go around to the front and, like, get the tag of whoever's, like, you know, because they have their little names? Or do they do that? Or is that just taxis? I don't know if cop cars have, like, the name of the cop inside.
No, there doesn't seem to be anything there. But give me a spot hidden roll, see if you do see anything.
I just fumbled a listen roll, so I'm going to say my ears blew out while trying to listen too hard.
you'd have to push your listen roll.
That would be too good. A little bit of blood trickles down your ear.
Okay, Mr. Green, you search through like the front of the cop car. There doesn't seem to be anything there. The glove box is locked, and there doesn't seem to be any other distractors, so you don't find anything immediately.
At this point, I sort of walk up behind him and like, what are you doing looking at my car?
Guys, look. Stop fucking around. Clearly, there's a rat among us. I mean, it's not Starsky and Hutch here. He's been shot. And I got shot as well. We got shot at. I mean, nice guy Eddie's. Nice guy, I'm nimble. I got away. I didn't get hit. I mean, nice guy Eddie is my friend, so clearly it's not me. So one of you guys, either Norman Bates there pointing at Mr. Red, because... Can we assume
Mr. Red's not here.
Oh, I thought he was in the car with us. Was he not in the car with us?
No, Mr. Red got separated from you. He's not here.
He who is not here is automatically the guilty party.
Yeah, but what about the fucking Mr. Gray who's opening doors around here?
He's fucking
weird. You
two
people are talking about a police car like it's a person or some shit. There's a real person walking around just writing notes, not talking, and opening doors and shit.
At this point, can we ask, when have we met Mr. Gray? Because who the fuck is Mr. Gray?
He just kind of slipped in among us.
Okay, Mr. Gray, you're not sure if he was at the meeting? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But he's actually not here now.
Who the fuck is...
He seems to have left the warehouse, but the door's at the back, like, half open.
Who the fuck is Mr. Gray, you putz? There's only six of us with Mr. Red.
No, Mr. Purple, back me up.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, Mr. Black. But you're asking who Mr. Gray is, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you also in charge of this little caper?
Yeah.
Mr. Black.
I am.
And you don't know who your crew is.
Mr. Gray wasn't at the meeting with Joe. Mr. Gray is a pretty cool name. I mean, I would have taken Mr. Gray.
So you're trying to tell me that you are the person in charge of this, you're supposed to know who everybody is, and you don't even know who Mr. Gray is? Do you have me concerned about whether I'm even going to get paid for this job?
Do you know who Mr. Gray is? What was his job? What was his role? What was he meant to do with the heist?
I don't fucking know. Take notes?
Yeah,
no. Fucking don't say
shit. I think
shit.
Note taker seems about secretary. Isn't that a position from high school or something? Yeah, he does that.
I did have a couple of admin guys. I outsourced work too. Look, no. I mean, if there's this Mr. Gray guy, he's clearly the mole. He wasn't there at the meeting with Joe. We should go find him. What is happening?
Wait a second. I think I overheard Mr. Green saying he wanted somebody to do some lock picking, so I'm going to whip out some of my skills for a second. There you go. Bada bing, bada boom. And I have rolled a success.
Okay. With ease, you manage to open up the glove compartment. Inside, you see a small handgun. I don't know anything about guns, so we're just going to call it a handgun. and also, like, a family picture. So it's a young wife, quite pretty, but not that pretty. Two kids, and a guy in police uniform. Quite small, quite thin, quite stuffy.
So why would you take a picture with your family when you're wearing your fucking uniform? What a douchebag.
And at this point, can you all give me listen rolls?
Oh, I rolled a natural 100. Mm. That's bad.
It's beautiful.
I rolled an 85 versus 45.
Nice.
Awesome. I rolled a 96 versus 35.
Gee, great rolls, guys.
Again, nobody can hear over the sweets, the sound of the 70s radio blaring in the car.
Okay, Mr. Green and Mr. Purple, you've both passed your listen rolls. You guys can hear from the boot of the car someone like thudding against the door.
Okay, I'm going to grab the gun from the thing and be like, guys, relax, relax. I hear something. Cock the gun. I'm like, all right, let's open this boot.
Hey. That's my surprise.
Thanks so much for tuning in. You can listen to next week's episode right now at www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. That's www.patreon.com/howwerollpodcast. We've had two amazing guests on the show this week, and you can find Carl Ferguson at amove.tv, and you can find Brockett Vola at Biggest Fan Podcast. Thanks as always to BattleBards for their amazing sounds, which you can get for yourselves at battlebards.com. Thank you to the Retrobeat Band for their amazing cover of Little Green Bag. And lastly, we're a growing show. If you can share us with a friend, spread the word, or even give us an iTunes review, it'd really help us out. See you next week. Take care.